Al Horford, two for two, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
We're all annoyed and upset and disappointed, and I feel like there was a mismatch between the talent that we had on paper and the way that it was expressed on the court, whatever. I mean, the actual and the potential, there was a gap. And, you know, the toughest part maybe is that we ended the season pretty well, and then we won five playoff games in a row. We swept Indiana, and then, you know, sitting right there courtside watching us thump them on the road in Milwaukee in game one and getting home court back. So those five games were, it wasn't back and forth. We beat Indiana and we beat Milwaukee in game one, and then we lost four in a row and got blown out. So pretty frustrating for everybody concerned, not least of all the players. I talked to them all, talked to just about every one of them after the game, and then in the coming day or two after that, just to, if nothing else, to say thanks and see you later. And, nobody was happy.
A disappointed Celtics co-owner, Wick Grosbeck, who joined Felger and Maz earlier this week here in these airwaves on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Welcome to The Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Casper, and you at 617-779-0985. That's as close to disappointed and angry, I guess, as you're going to hear Wick. He's usually one of the more positive, like king of the green teamers that you'll hear here in any of his appearances he does with Felger and Maz. But I thought, even though he couched some of the stuff, I thought it was very telling, some of the things that he said about this team and Kyrie Irving in particular, even though he sidestepped many of the questions about Kyrie Irving and where his status is and what the interest is on behalf of the Celtics in re-signing him. Your thoughts on this interview? Chris Gasper, the author of In 1 Year, Celtics Have Gone From Promise to Problematic, your latest column in the Boston Globe.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting interview, obviously, with Wick. Good to have him on. The only thing that he wasn't asked that I wish he had been asked would be, does he wish that Kyrie Irving, after the series and after the season, had taken more ownership of the team's disappointing ending? You know, I thought that would be sort of an interesting question, because you have Brad saying, I did a bad job. You have sort of everybody throughout the team falling on their sword, and we haven't really heard anything like that from Kyrie. So, you know, we'll see. I also thought it was really interesting listening to him, you know, talk about Kyrie. It was sort of, and I know he wasn't going to say anything, and you say don't read too much into it, but given the fact that, you know, they both sides were waxing poetic about each other at this time last year, and now it's sort of like,
oh, it's like cold and
yeah,
clinical,
it's like you don't even want to, you're not mentioning names, and you haven't, you know, it's just, it's weird. So, hey, look, I don't blame Wick for being disappointed. Celtics have a lot of work ahead of them this offseason, Jim. There's not a clear path, a clear obvious path to me for them to get back to where they were at the beginning of this year, which is set up to be a team that's a title contender for years to come.
And which is amazing considering where they were a year ago and what the hype was surrounding them. I think rightfully so. Like, you know, after their run, you know, getting within a game of the finals last year, you point out some of the things that have gone wrong for this team in a year, but specifically this week. And when it comes to the draft, you didn't think that they had a very good week. And
no,
this is
I didn't.
One of the things that can affect their future.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, again, you know, it was not the thunderbolt of the Knicks or the Lakers getting the number one pick, which I think a lot of people were focused on, or that Memphis pick conveying to you. But the confluence of circumstances overall in that draft lottery, I thought, were not good for the Celtics and made it harder for them. You start out with New Orleans winning, so now they have Zion Williamson. They don't need him in a trade. Well, now they're sort of emboldened to try and pitch Anthony Davis on staying, and maybe they're even emboldened to go into the season with this guy on the roster. I'd still say that's unlikely, and I know David Griffin has to put a little bit of a poker face on, but at the same time, like, him taking that job, you know, he's either going to convince Davis to stay or he's really going to try and maximize that return. You're not dealing with Danny Ferry or Dell Demps anymore down in New Orleans. So, again, however you slice or dice it, that strengthened New Orleans' position, which means it makes it harder for you to do the deal. Then you have the Memphis situation where they move up from 8 to 2. Again, as I said in the column, like, we all thought this year the Sacramento pick was going to be a top 5 pick. One of the reasons it wasn't was because a second-year point guard took a pretty big leap, De'Aaron Fox. Well, Memphis is saying they're going to draft Ja Morant with the second pick 2 years from now in 2021 when that pick's unprotected. What if he makes a leap? What if he's pretty good? And they already have Jaren Jackson. That, to me, devalued that pick a little bit and makes it harder to slough off to another team and say, you know, sell the dream of this is definitely a top five pick. And then the Lakers moving up to fourth. It's just more ammunition for them. It's ammunition they didn't have. I know everybody says it's a three-player draft, but the fourth guy is probably Darius Garland, who was a highly touted point guard, played five games this year at Vanderbilt, had his season truncated by injury. I think there's a lot of people in basketball circles who think that that guy can play and that he'll end up being a player. So that fourth pick does have value. And even the Knicks. The Knicks didn't – they had the worst record. They were one of three teams that had the best odds, Jim, but they still can get R.J. Barrett. They're going to get Barrett or Morant. That's still another trade piece that they could ship off if they're trying to pursue Anthony Davis, if they get Durant and Kyrie Irving. Plus, no one's talking about they have a 2021 unprotected pick from Dallas, so they have one of those to throw out there too, just like the Celtics.
So in other words, the treasure chest, which it's been referred to, it ain't as full as people may think. And does that include Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Did these guys take a hit with the seasons that they had, specifically Tatum?
Yeah, so I think that they did. I think that they stagnated a little bit. They still have tremendous value, but the big upshot of that whole draft lottery to me was, if you look at it, I don't see how they get the deal done without including both. Like, before David Griffin got there and before there was a draft lottery, and it went out the way it went for them, I thought there was a path for them to make this deal and keep one of those guys. Now, I don't think that path exists. Now, maybe Danny can pull it off. Maybe he can hoodwink another one of his colleagues in an NBA front office. You know, kudos to him if he can. But now, based on what the other packages are and what's happened and the position that New Orleans is in and it being strengthened with Zion and the fact they're looking at a rapid rebuild now with Zion, I think you have to send Tatum, Brown. Smart has to go for money matching purposes, but that's painful to send those three guys. And then let me ask you this. Would you do this deal with no commitment from Kyrie?
No. I wouldn't do it with no commitment from Anthony Davis either.
Like, well, if there's no Kyrie, I think there is no commitment from Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I've resigned myself, Chris, that this isn't happening. I'm not, because it just doesn't. Things aren't going their way. Davis, I don't think really wants to be here. I certainly don't think Kyrie Irving wants to be here. I'm okay with that. But then I have to face the reality of, so who's your big dog? Gordon Hayward, who looked like a shell of himself and can't get out of his own head, and the hopes that Tatum and Brown play themselves into being top 10, 15 players in the NBA. That seems like that might be a big ask, where I didn't think that a year ago. So you're a middler. You're another middler in the NBA again, which is the worst place you can possibly be. I would say they'd be the Atlanta Hawks, but at least the Atlanta Hawks have upside with Collins and Trae Young and a couple of picks in the top 10, right? They've got two
Yeah, they have Dallas's picks. Pick. I mean, yeah. It didn't really work out for them lottery. But, yeah.
But still, at least they have some upside there. Young, I think, is a player and, you know, a legitimate candidate for Rookie of the Year besides Doncic. So you're not even that. You don't have that kind of upside anymore. It's just the worst place you can be, purgatory in the NBA. And that's so, I don't know, like I've been going back and forth the last couple of days of this. As much as I despise the attitude of Kyrie Irving and how he, I think, helped to ruin everything behind the scenes this season, you do kind of need that superstar talent in this league. That's the most important thing. I know I'm coming over your side
a little bit.
Boy,
come over to the dark side, Jim.
I find him so repulsive now.
And nice Davis, over here.
Davis, too, I think, showed some of that towards the end. In New Orleans, where he's wearing the That's All Folks shirt and flipping off fans in New Orleans. Like, he has that same kind of bad attitude. Like, I don't know, I'm torn. And I can't imagine, and this is probably why, and I say this somewhat facetiously, why Danny Ainge has dealt with the health issues he's had as of late, because the stress has to be out of control and what the hell to do with this team going forward.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Danny set it all up. He did pretty much everything right in terms of setting them up for long-term success. I mean, he goes out and gets a bona fide superstar who's won a championship in Irving. You know, he brings Gordon Hayward, who is a bona fide all-star here, to work with Brad. He amasses all these lottery picks. You know, he completely hoodwinks Philadelphia, still gets Tatum, and then gets this, like, lottery pick. And even people forgot about this. But you go back to last year, if that Lakers pick had landed 2 through 5, the Celtics got that pick. Yeah. It wasn't automatically this Sacramento pick. If that had landed, if they had changed the lottery like a year earlier, I think there's a pretty good chance, because the Lakers ended up with the 10th pick. Like, what if they had jumped to 4th last year? That would have been your pick. You might have drafted Luka. I mean, imagine that. So it's like, as I said in the column, it just seems like he did everything right, and then fate came in, as it so often does in life, and swatted him away and then gave him the Mutombo finger wag. Yeah. Like, sorry, not going to happen, Dan.
Well, as you finish your column brilliantly, you know what they say about best laid plans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, best laid plans.
Sean Silver, you got to be out of your mind about this because you're one of the guys here that's one of the harder hoop heads. You love the Celtics. You spend your hard-earned money on tickets. Like, what this has become in just a calendar year, this you probably still can't even wrap your head around it, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's kind of the point where I just don't want to. I've got my hands over my eyes, you know. And,
sticking your head in the sand.
And I think I tweeted yesterday, you know, I'm just seeing guys, you know, all the beat guys and, you know, guys who are out there, you know, busting their humps trying to cover the Celtics. They still need to produce content. And it's, you know, it's all this, you know, rumor-related stuff. Kyrie's team says this. Anthony Davis's team says that. And it's just like, man, God bless you people, you know, writing stories and trying not to get emotionally suckered into this. I know not everybody who writes about the Celtics for a living is an actual fan of the team, but I just couldn't imagine doing that. I need time. I need a break right now. And, you know, I did talk to B-Rob for a few minutes, you know, in the control room before this show started up. And, you know, B-Rob's a level-headed guy, obviously connected guy, obviously does the work, thinks things through. And, you know, we had a couple of scenarios that at least would have made us somewhat happy headed into next year. But for me, neither of those scenarios features Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis. And, I wrote something for the Hub website last year where I was like, I don't want LeBron in the Celtics because it's going to be 2 years. And, yeah, a few outlets picked it up and they were like, look at the stupid Boston guy. He doesn't want LeBron James on the Celtics. And it's like, it's going to be 2 years and then it's going to be a mess. Well, we got a mess right now. It was actually, we had 2 years of Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And now it's a mess. And this is, I know it seems weird to say, you know, the superstar culture is damaging because you have superstars and that's what makes you win the NBA. But really, look at the result. Look at the fallout of what happened right here when we went from the happy-go-lucky Bridgies to taking that step. That's where we are today, and it's not a pleasant place to be.
617-779-0985. You want to join the Celtics conversation here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Again, the column from Chris Casper, which you should read. In 1 year, Celtics have gone from promise to problematic, so much so that poor Sean Silver is just saying, like, I'm putting my head in the sand. See no evil, hear no evil. I don't want nothing to do with this. Talk to me in a couple of months when they hopefully figure it all out. And we'll talk to someone who does cover the team that Sean was just mentioning. We will speak to Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. I think he feels a little bit more optimistic about their chances of getting Anthony Davis and what that Celtics treasure chest is. We'll speak to him next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Jerry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
I'm told Anthony Davis's trade stance has not changed. He still wants a trade, as he requested in January of this past season. In his mind, you know, he's made his intent clear. He wants to go focus on winning a championship, go elsewhere, whether it be the Lakers, the Knicks. You know, he has a preferred list of destinations. But listen, there are going to be other teams that he has to be open-minded to. But he's made his desires known.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Chris Casper and you, 617-779-0985. That's Sham Sharani of The Athletic on Anthony Davis, likely getting traded this summer. Will it be to the Celtics? Let's get some insight on that. Joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, it is our pal Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston. Good afternoon, Forsberg.
What up? What's going on?
Oh, not too much. So can they still pull this off, the Celtics, and do they have the ammo to do it post-NBA lottery?
Yeah, like, I'm of the ilk that they still have the best package now. Like, I certainly think the gap narrowed between what they can offer and what the Lakers and Knicks can offer. And, like, what should really scare Celtics fans is if a wild card team emerges, will, like, Toronto, if their run ends here at the East Finals and with all the uncertainty with Kawhi, you know, would they put Siakam on the table? And what will the Clippers do, depending on how their summer plays out? I just think there's a lot of different variables here. But, like, the Celtics have the young talent. It's going to cost a ransom. But if they're willing to put all their best chips on the table, I think they'll at least make New Orleans think about it. Now, the only thing the other worry I have is just the timelines. Like, does New Orleans want to force the issue and make Anthony Davis stay to start the season and force him to try this thing out with Zion? And, you know, then all of a sudden the Celtics are in a tough spot because they probably need to know what the Anthony Davis situation is before they cross the bridge with Kyrie, or, you know, they're kind of intertwined. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out because, you know, there's a narrow window here in my mind to make this thing happen.
Forsby, in your column on NBC Sports Boston, you sort of make the point that for the Celtics, They would welcome Kyrie Irving back with open arms here if he intended to resign, and that their best championship path still requires, you know, him as part of the team. Where do you think things stand between Kyrie and the team? And just you saying that, you know, a lot of fans are ready to see him go. You know, remind them again why the best path forward for the Celtics still involves Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, like, I think the Celtics have been optimistic all season that Kyrie would be back. I certainly think they're confidence maybe eroded a little bit later in the year with the disappointing finish and the way he certainly looked like he checked out a little bit there at the end of the Milwaukee series. And so you're fair to wonder what his mindset was going into the offseason. You know, all that being said, in my mind, like, the most important thing if you're going to win a title in the NBA is talent. And, you know, for the Celtics to just let Kyrie walk away without getting any compensation would just be really damning to their future. I just think, you know, you don't get like extra cap space. It's not like you turn around and go, oh, let's just go sign Kemba Walker. It's you're in a tough spot. You probably need Al Horford to opt out before you had any sort of space to go add somebody. So now you're subtracting two all-stars to add maybe another wild card. The preferred path here is absolutely to bring back Kyrie, hope it works. Maybe that's enough to if you get him and you can go get Anthony Davis, like, they're going to win games. That's going to make a lot of things better. It'll make people forget all about how frustrating this year was and how frustrating his attitude was during this season. And, hey, if it doesn't work, if you don't get Anthony Davis, and for whatever reason you bring back Kyrie and it just doesn't work, you can...
Looks like we lost
Torsby. I think the point he was making there is that if you bring back Kyrie and it doesn't work, at least Kyrie's under contract. He makes this point in his column on NBC Sports Boston. You bring Kyrie back, you can trade him. You know, and so I think Chris's point is, even if you're not wedded to Kyrie long term, you still want to re-sign him and try and give it a go here, because then you can flip him and you're banking on Kyrie sort of feeling like, okay, well, I can make a little more money here. But I just want to make a quick sort of inside NBA point, the type of point Felgermaz would not let me make, which is that if you really look at the deals, like, you can get a 4-year deal from another team and a 5-year deal from the Celtics. And there's a difference there of about $49, $50 million. But it's all in the fifth year. Like, over the first 4 years, the difference is only like $6 million. So if he's smart, he could go to the Knicks, sign a 4-year deal with an opt-out after 2 years. And after 2 years, he'll have 10 years in the league and be eligible for that NBA Supermax.
All right, Chris Forsberg back on here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Sorry about that, Chris. I'm assuming it's on your end with these stupid cell phones.
Well, I assume so, but I think what it is like, as soon as I start making a case for Kyrie to be back, Celtics fans cut the cord to my phone or something Make sure I don't make that case. But I don't know where I dropped out, but like, essentially, to me, it just comes down to talent, and you need talent, and I know people are frustrated with the way it played out, but bringing Kyrie back and trying to build around him and giving this thing another go is the best path forward. And, hey, if it doesn't work, you can always trade him down the road. But you can't just let guys walk for no assets and expect to sort of maintain the championship desire that this team has.
You know, Chris, you're being kind of silly there saying it's Celtics fans that cut your line and that's why we lost you. But that being said, I do think, as to steal Chris's line, you know, winning's the best deodorant. So they can figure it out from there if he comes back and they start winning games again. But with the initial announcement, if Kyrie Irving comes back to this team, I think you are going to have a large segment of Celtics fans that will groan and be pissed off, and I think rightfully so for his attitude this season and how this thing played out. Do you think he'd be willing to, like, sit down in front of a camera and essentially have like a mea culpa and say, like, hey, a lot of this fell on me? Because I think that's going to be necessary. I really do, because I think it's a hard sell to bring him back right now.
See, I completely get it, and I think anyone with a little bit of self-awareness would probably say, yeah, that's the right thing to do to try and, like, smooth things over and be like, you know, what happened last season, a lot of that's on me. And, you know, the path to repairing all this starts with Kyrie Irving. I just don't know if Kyrie's the sort of guy to do that. And so I think the more likely scenario is he's just going to win you back on the court and play really well and show that he's, you know, that he's at least learned and maybe not run his mouth quite as much or not point fingers at other guys. I just don't know if Kyrie's the sort that can sit down and admit that a lot of this falls on him. And I do think, like, as much as I think he's largely to blame for a lot of their issues, I do think he's getting a little bit too much of the blame. Like, you know, there's a lot of talent on that team, and a lot of guys didn't make strides forward. And I don't know if that just all necessarily falls back on Kyrie. Now, that being said, it certainly will be easier for fans to embrace him if he shows accountability. I think that's just part of what he's got to come to grips with, especially as he kind of learns how to be a leader here, is that leaders, they get the lion's share of the credit, and when it goes wrong, they got to be able to step up and say, hey, this is on me.
Forsby, I want to ask you a little bit about Al Horford here. What is his situation? Obviously, he's at a point in his career where he wants to win a championship. So if Kyrie were to leave and, you know, there's no Anthony Davis, how would things play out with him? Would he be willing to sort of just ride it out with a Tatum, Brown, Hayward team? Or is there a chance here, you know, once he opts out, that he would take less money to go elsewhere or just look for a situation where he could win a title?
Yes. So some of it will be dictated by what's out there for Al. Like if amid all this shuffling, if there's a contender out there who can afford Al and give him sort of the same sort of long-term security that Boston might be able to offer if he opts out here. I think that the most likely scenario is he opts out, whether, you know, that's to pursue another deal with another team or to re-sign 3 years, $70 million, whatever it might be with Boston, and maybe ride out the final stretch of his career. I think a lot of it will hinge on what the Celtics do. I think at this stage of Al's career, the only thing that matters to him is competing and trying to win a championship. And so I just feel like, you know, if the Celtics show him, they're going to do that. And, like, let's face it, if they go get Anthony Davis, like, Austin now doesn't probably have to play the five as much, or at least there's some flexibility there in how you deploy those guys. And, you know, I think that takes some of the burden off of him. So maybe he's more intrigued by it. If it's, you know, just Kyrie back, how confident is he in what he saw this year? Is that something he wants to go through again? And if Kyrie's gone, what kind of faith does he have in the young guys? So it's hard to know. I know Al enjoyed his time in Boston. He likes, obviously, Brad Stevens, the front office, all that. I think it just comes down to whether this makes the most sense and gives him the best chance to sort of get that ring, that the sort of the one thing that's evaded his career.
After all the stuff that Terry Rozier said earlier this week during his car wash on ESPN, is he as good as gone?
No, you know, I still think there's a good chance that if Kyrie leaves, and depending on how it plays out, like say you know, I think this is an unlikely scenario where Kyrie leaves and they still go get Anthony Davis. But if you had to make that Anthony Davis deal, then Marcus Smart's gone. Then you have a real hole there at point guard. I think there's still a chance that Terry Rozier is back. It's probably the lowest probability of all. But if the Celtics do start overhauling their roster, they're going to have to think long and hard about retaining the guys that they have the rights to, because they just won't have cap space to otherwise add talent. And so, like, listen, I don't think the Celtics organization sits here and listens to what he said on First Take and says, wow, this is a surprise to us. We had no idea that Terry Rozier was so frustrated. I think they wish he hadn't gone and run and told Stephen A. Smith about all the things that made him mad and kind of threw his coach under the bus and made suggestions that Kyrie and Gordon somehow get, like, preferential treatment. Yeah. But all in all, I think they understand that there's a chance they might need him next year. And ironically, he would get the opportunity that he's sort of been craving. But it also will come down to price point. And if the Chicago Bulls or some team out there wants to overpay him, then the Celtics are probably more than okay then with moving on or examining potential sign and trades. But even that's difficult with when you're over the tax. So there will be options. But, you know, there is always the chance that Terry Rozier is back.
Forsby, quickly here as we wind down, I just want to know, you know, if it's not Anthony Davis and it's not Kyrie, what are some other options for the Celtics? And names we've heard, like Bradley Beal or maybe Carl Anthony Towns, are those realistic options this offseason, or would it sort of be holster the assets and, you know, we'll see those guys, try and get one of those guys down the line?
Yeah, I think what you do is you just sort of examine what makes the most sense. Now, like, Beal is interesting to me because he's best friends with Tatum. They went to the same high school, and there's a relationship there. And so if you're going to kind of do the youth movement and, you know, you're building around Tatum, there's some intrigue there. But I don't know if the way your roster is constructed, you'd still have Hayward and Jaylen Brown, and, you know, there's some redundancy there at the 2 or 3 spots. So that's a hard one to see. And it depends on what Washington wants to do with new leadership coming in. But I do think the more likely scenario is you sort of embrace the youth movement. You hope Al comes back and that you're still competitive with the sort of the 2018 playoff roster plus a healthy Gordon Hayward, and you sort of see what becomes available. Because, like, no one thought Kawhi was going to be out there last summer. No one thought Kyrie was going to be out there the year before that. Like, names come up, and you just got to be ready to pounce. And so with that Grizzlies pick rolling over, and Gas, I know you're concerned about that being Sacramento 2.0, and that's completely fair, but, like, I think they'll move it before it even has to worry about that. And with the flatter odds, maybe that gives it a better chance of being something good for the team that takes it. So there's going to be options. You just got to be patient. So in my mind, it just means it murkies the window. Like, you don't know when exactly you'll be super competitive again. Maybe you're lucky and these young guys develop, and with the freedom, they're there. But more likely than not, you're left waiting for your next star.
All right, Chris Forsberg, some of the best Celtics coverage in the city, along with maybe the best hair in the city as well. Follow him along on Twitter, at @ChrisForsberg_. Check him out, NBC Sports Boston. Basically nightly, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But some of the worst cell phone coverage in the city as well, evidently. So
right.
I'll work on that. I'll work on that in the offseason. Unlike Kyrie, I'll take accountability for my phone.
Go enjoy the lovely Saturday. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Chris Forsberg joins us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You want to weigh in on anything that he just talked about there with the C's, 617-779-0985. Gasper, I know you didn't like to hear what he had to say about Terry Rozier. We're going to get to that and some of his comments he made earlier this week on First Take when he was on the ESPN car wash. Ooh, I don't know how he could come back, but then again, they do seem a little bit desperate right now. We'll get to that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Sean Silver. Sports Hub Celtic Show, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And they said to you, we're bringing everybody back. Same team. It's going to be exactly the way it was this past year. Do you want to stay in Boston?
No, I might have to go. You know, I put up with a lot this year. So, I said what I said after the season. I think we all know that. I'm not trying to step in. Into that again.
Now the ball's on this guy. That is Terry Rozier earlier this week doing the ESPN car wash. He's there with Stephen A. Smith on First Take. Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, News 617-779-0985. It is 98.5 of Sports Hub. So we were just talking to Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, and he believes there's a chance if Kyrie Irving doesn't come back, that after all the things that he said this week, Terry Rozier, where he's burning a bridge left and right, and like Chris was correct to point out, Chris Forsberg, that is, he's like throwing his coach under the bus. He's talking about how there's preferential treatment for Gordon Hayward. I mean, these are things that we all know. Like, we've come to this realization anyway, and that's okay for a guy like Gasper or Forsberg to write that and put it in print. But for a player to say it, it's like, dude, like, you're burning this bridge. You're not going to be back. He could be back. Are you kidding me? Ugh.
No, I'm not interested. You know,
me either.
I mean, look, nice player. Obviously thinks he's better than he really is.
Oh, he's so delusional.
Yeah, and trying to shoot his way out of town. And I think he made it pretty clear that, you know, he wants to be not only like a starter, but he wants to be a guy with the ball in his hands. So, I just think they could go in another direction for point guard. I don't really want to see him come back one way or the other. And the other thing about him is that, well, again, I like some of his capabilities as a player and his talent. I think a lot of what he does is based on volume of minutes, volume of shots. And even if you go back to the playoffs last year, just take the Milwaukee series, for example. Yes, he had some very good moments at home.
At home. Oh, he was garbage in that series on the road.
He sucked on the road.
He did.
You know, and I don't throw that word around like you or Maz. He sucked. I mean, I covered that series. Useless on the road. So I don't know who he thinks he is. And again, he has some talent. I like some of what he can do as a player. But you got to check yourself, man. You got to check yourself, bro. Like, I don't know who he thinks he is at this point in the NBA.
Well, that's one of the things I find rich about this, because for, you know, it's easy for you, it's okay for you to say, but for a lot of Celtics fans to like see some of this stuff and hear it and get incensed, you did this. You're the one that made him like this. You are. You're the one that helped him build up the scary Terry persona.
I forgot.
You're the ones that overrated this guy in the first place, like you do time and time again with the likes of Tyler Zeller or Jay Crowder or with Terry Rozier. You did this. You made this monster. You did. But for them to bring him back, the Celtics would literally be, Chris, the equivalent of me in my early 20s, sitting at desperate in my early 20s at some rat hole at like Sissy K's at 1:45 in the morning, just looking over like, that slob will have to do. I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's get together for now, Terry Rozier. Like, that's what it would be. It would be so unbecoming of the Celtics, and they've already done a lot of unbecoming things here, falling all over themselves for Kyrie Irving. Oh, we want to get married. Oh, whatever that you want to do. Like, ugh, gross. Terry Rozier, you do it for that guy, that bum. You can't do that. No.
Tell me more about Sissy Kate.
Oh, God. That is a lot of dark times there, Chris. Early to mid-20s. That girl's got, like, one leg that's way longer than the other and kind of a droopy eye. I'm drunk. All right, whatever. And the things you do. And you just have that Taking Back Sunday song ringing through my head all the time. Close your eyes and just settle. close your eyes and just... It just says those were a lot of emo times for yours truly. Terrible bars like that. We've all been there, fellas, right? Just hear crickets and silence. Be dark time. That's what it would be like for the Celtics. Well, Chris laughs. We'll take your calls at 617-779-0985. Appreciate that. You're always an easy foil for me. Danny in Amesbury. Go ahead, Danny.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the Terry Rozier situation. That really rubbed me the wrong way the other day, too. I was looking at it, and I'm like, is this guy trying to get leverage with the Celtics or something? Because, I mean, he clearly doesn't know what we do here. We're not the type of people, the players aren't the type of people to go and say all this crap after the season. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating to hear that, but this is what it's become. Like, they were looked at as, not even just locally, nationally, Chris, as the team that was the best positioned to compete with the Golden State Warriors,
yes.
At least have a competitive series in the finals, and they were built to last here for years, close to a decade. And now it's come to this, where we're throwing around the fact that they might have to ask Terry Rozier to come to come back to them.
To come crawling back.
Oh, my
God.
They're going
to come crawling back to T. Rose. I will say this, you know, in a lot of ways, he's like the poster child, I think, for this team in terms of
petulance and selfishness and all that kind of thing.
The guy who felt like he was better than he really is. Guy who wants his own stats, sort of has like an individual agenda here. And this is the one the most. Guy who just was not capable or willing to accept his role.
Right.
And I don't know which one it was, because I've said in the past I didn't think this was a guy who could perform in short stints off the bench and be the same player. So either he's not capable of being a role player, or he's not willing to do it. And the last point I'll make to the caller asking why is he doing this, because he's a restricted free agent and the Celtics can match any deal, and he doesn't want them to. He's shooting his way out of town, both guns blazing.
Troy in Dorchester on Terry Rozier. Hey, Troy.
How you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
So I called last season after the playoffs were done to the afternoon show, Zoe and Arbito. I was laughed off the phone when I said we need to trade high on him right now, get what we can. It's not going to end well with him after this season once Kyrie comes back. What happens if Kyrie gets injured again? And I all types of stuff. I was laughed off the phone. So now I'm wondering what, if anything, can we get for him, for one? And then for two, what would anybody want? You know, like, I mean, why would anybody want him now? So I think the Celtics kind of porked themselves with this one.
Yeah,
what do you guys think?
Troy, I agree completely, and this is one of the things. You think this is the biggest mistake that Danny Ainge made this season, that they should have sold high on Rozier at the very least when you knew he was a problem. They knew he was a problem.
They
you
knew.
Mentioned this yesterday in Felger and Mez.
All year. Attitude issues, yeah.
Movement of the trade deadline.
I mean, even, and forget what I'm saying or what I was told or whatever. Just in this thing, he talks about, he had a positive mindset when the season started, and then Kyrie made his pledge, and he said, this is a quote from him, starting here, quote, things shifted left for me, and I just seen the way people treated me with their attitudes, and I was just thrown all the way in the back seat. I just had to adjust to that. And that's how he felt, and he pushed back against that, like, all year long. So, I mean, what are you going to get from him? He's a restricted free agent. I mean, teams know. Do you want to match? I mean,
yeah.
I guess you could match it and try and flip him, but, I mean, he's trying to shoot his way out of town.
But that would truly be worst-case scenario. Gang, if Kyrie Irving goes, I know a lot of you want to see him go, and I kind of side with that too because of the attitude and how he'll ruin things. But if it gets that desperate, they'd go crawling to Terry Rozier like yours truly used to have to at 1:45 in the morning at Sissy K's making terrible decisions. That's what the equivalent of it is. Just trying to tell yourself, like, I should probably go outside and just get one of those teriyaki sticks and go home and take care of myself and just wake up a depressed mess. But no. That girl with the giant leg and half a head of hair over there, she seems down. How about you, Lady Rozier? You want to come? You want to make it happen? Yeah, I know. All right. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. That's so desperate.
Why does it sound like you have low T when you're doing
it? I mean, I didn't have. No, it was those weren't great times. The testosterone was up. It's why I had to get with the gross Lady Terry
okay.
Rozier, Chris.
All right.
But you feel so much shame because you know you're. Just closing your eyes and settling. You know, it's not a great thing. That's what the Celtics would be doing. The Celtics would be settling for just a late-night slob at a bad bar. That's what you'd be doing if you go crawling to Terry Rozier. This is what it's become in 1 year for this team. We had such high aspirations. Titles, plural. And now it's just a late Friday night where you should just go home by yourself.
Well, think about your choices. Like, right, you know, you're saying, do you go crawling to Terry Rozier, sort of the, you know, slob there, or do you go back to your crazy, super hot boyfriend or girlfriend who is like, you know, you're on pins and needles all the time, and like, you know, he or she really has commitment issues and is not going to commit to you. That's Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
those are your choices.
Not great times.
Stay at the bar or go home.
I want to just mention how I felt about the lottery earlier this week. I found it very curious, the four teams that ended up landing in the top four. I want to touch on that as we wrap up the show here. Coming up next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The fourth pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
All right, as we wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show for this week, and again, abbreviated show today, as we got the New England Revolution match coming up with Montreal just a few minutes here. I just wanted to touch on this again because I'm with Tony Naz on this. I think this whole thing was rigged. I don't know how they do it, but the NBA rigged this thing. And how the top four played out on Tuesday night, what a load of crap. And again, I don't know from a technical standpoint, I don't know. Mentioned a laser printer. Maybe there's Freon gas in some of the balls. I don't know. But I think that something is afoot with the NBA lottery. And I knew that when watching this thing, and it was actually, you know, it's good drama. It does make for good television. But when the Lakers were in that top four, that's when I was like, oh with a 2.9% chance, eh? Oh, and the Pelicans are going to be in the top four? Oh, what a crock. What a crock this is. They're trying to help the small markets. So you help the Pelicans. We're going to lose their superstar, and Anthony Davis doesn't want to be there, so you gift them Zion Williamson, okay? That's that one. With Memphis, same thing. Another tiny market, maybe the most one of the most irrelevant franchises in the NBA, if not all of sports. We're going to gift them Ja Morant because they're going to end up losing Mike Conley because they don't want to deal with that contract anymore.
Yeah.
He's on the back nine. So they're helping those two small market teams there. You still essentially help the New York Knicks,
yep,
with trade assets.
They're still going to get RJ Barrett or Morant.
But all those other owners who hate James Dolan, they make sure he doesn't get the number one pick and a superstar in Zion Williamson. So it's just enough to be palatable to the Knicks. And for the Lakers, well, it's the same kind of thing. You still help, from an asset standpoint, your most influential, important player in the league in LeBron James. It's rigged. It's fixed. It's fake. I don't know how they do it, but I'm telling you that they do it.
Well, you know what's interesting about it? And I don't agree with you on this, but it makes for great radio, so I'm not going to stop you. But basically, they're... Look at it this way. Their two smallest market teams and their two biggest market teams ended up taking the top four spots. Mm-hmm. What are the odds of that?
Yeah, exactly. And Mark Stein, who covers the NBA for the New York Times, as he tweeted, all the big market teams and presumed tankers took a serious tumble in this unforgiving new lottery system, and the two teams most in need of a financial boost, New Orleans and Memphis, scored the top two picks. Huh. Yeah, gee, I wonder why. Rigged. Fake. Fixed. Thanks to Tucker Silver, who produced today's show. Appreciate it, Tucker. Sean Silver on Sports Hub Headlines and chiming in. And you, Chris Gasper. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, good to see you.
Get out there and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Coming up next, it's New England Revolution soccer footy for those of you from across the pond as they take on Montreal. So that's coming up next here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you Monday with Phil Graham as it too. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.